Let me again thank each and every one that made all of these musical numbers and all of the video possible. I appreciate the investment that's been made through the course of the week that they might bring you these different songs and numbers here on Easter Sunday. We're glad to have each and every one joining us. I want to ask you, if you would, to take your Bibles this morning and go to Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4. Last Sunday morning, we had the opportunity to look at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ and the impact that the crucifixion has on our redemption. And this morning, we turn our attention to the resurrection. If you were unable to join us for the service last Sunday morning, there are a couple of different avenues by which you can go back and hear both that message and any other message. You might note on our website, we have the opportunity to replay the audio version of our messages that are preached here at FBT each and every week. And then you can also utilize sermon audio. And it's an app on your phone, or it can be an app on your phone, or it is a website that you can go to and access from your computer. And normally through the course of several weeks, the messages are updated on sermon audio, and you can go to Fairfax Baptist Temple, and as you research there on sermon audio, you can see the messages that have been preached here in the pulpit, and perhaps you've missed one or more of these recent messages, or you'd like to catch up with where we are in either the book of Luke or in the book of 1 Samuel, you can do that on sermon audio. I appreciate the efforts that are made by so many behind the scenes to keep us updated and to keep these CDs and sermon audio messages available to the public. Take your Bibles again and go to Romans chapter 4. We want to read three verses there in Romans chapter 4. Very simple and straightforward. Keep in mind that the book of Romans has been written by the Apostle Paul to the believers that are scattered throughout Rome, and he speaks to them concerning several illustrations from the Old Testament. In this chapter, he happens to identify some matters related to Abraham, and I'll say more about that in just a moment. And then he also refers to David. And we're very mindful of Romans chapter 4 and verse number 8 and the tremendous verse that is given to us in verse number 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. What a wonderful truth and promise that we have there in Romans 4 and verse number 8. Now look with me, if you would, at verses 23 to 25, and we take our text from there this morning. Romans 4, verses 23 to 25. Now it is not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. I want to look this morning at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the story of his victory. Let's ask God's blessings upon our time as we look into the Word today. Father, thank you for this opportunity to go to the unchanging Word of God. We're so grateful for the truth that has been given therein. We're glad that we don't go to the hierarchy of man. We're glad that we don't go to the hierarchy of a denomination. We come to the solid foundation of the written Word of God. And it does not change. It is based upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and Lord, we have the opportunity to study from the inspired word all that pertains to life and godliness. Now, I pray that you direct my thoughts this morning. May this be a help for each one that is tuned in. If there be one that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ today, I pray that this day of celebration, this day of resurrection, this day of Easter Sunday would be the day of their salvation. Would you draw them to yourself even this morning through the message today? Guide and direct, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. The story is told of Abraham and the promise of his son, Isaac. Abraham was old, and yet he had no son for his wife, had been barren for 90 years. Abraham, though, believed that God could open her womb and give them a son. Abraham's faith and belief are an example to all of us today. We come to God the very same way. We must come to God by faith. After speaking on the situation in the life of Abraham and Sarah, the Apostle Paul turns his attention to our belief in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham, by faith, believed in an event that would happen. And we too are asked to believe in an event that has happened. While Abraham looked forward to a future event and believed that God would do what he said he would do, we are able to look back at the resurrection of Christ and know that Christ did what he said he would do. The story is recorded for us to believe. Go back with me, if you would, to the passage here in Romans chapter 4, and look what the Bible says in verse number 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom ye believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who, against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now look down in verse number 23, and let's compare verse 23 to verse number 17. Now it was not written for his sake alone. The story of the details of Abraham and Sarah's faith and this future event was not solely recorded for their own sake. It was meant to be an encouragement to every single one of us, even in the year 2020. It was written that we might have hope, that we might have hope and believe in hope when all others seem to have no hope. I like the wording that is there in verse number 18. Who against hope believed in hope. And I believe that's a great truth for us as believers. Who against hope believe in hope. And it is written not just for the sake of Abraham and Sarah and the story that is conveyed to us about their belief and how it was imputed unto them, but the author transitions to our belief in the resurrection of Christ and the nature of this great story. Would you consider the story of the resurrection with me this morning, and consider this story as it relates to our eternal hope? Number one, would you note with me this morning that the resurrection story is a story of proof. A story of proof. It is proof, number one, that Jesus died. Jesus Christ went to the cross just as he said he would. We studied that last Sunday morning, and we considered that common hall and that Calvary's hill. And we considered all that Jesus Christ suffered and endured, that he might save us from our sins, that he might shed his blood and take our place of punishment. Number one, it is proof that Jesus died. The Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross and died. And there had to be a death for there to be a resurrection. Matthew chapter 16, in verse number 21, from that time forth, began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. John chapter 19, verses 33 to 34. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Unbelieving man rejects the resurrection of Christ by believing that Jesus Christ never actually died. They have all kinds of theories and concepts about what actually happened to Christ. But based upon the eternal word of God, we know that Jesus Christ gave his life. People have tried to say that it was just that Jesus fainted or went unconscious. But the Bible says that everyone that was there as a witness knew that he had died. It is a story of proof that Jesus Christ died. It is also proof that the Father accepted the death of Christ as the payment for our sin. It is proof that Jesus died, but secondarily, it is proof that the Father accepted the atoning work. The death of Christ was necessary to provide that propitiation for our sins. He was the vicarious atonement for our sins. He was the substitute. He took our place. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 25, whom God, the Father, has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Ephesians chapter 1 in verse number 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. If you have your Bibles open and ready, turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And I want you to read just an unbelievable passage with me here in Hebrews chapter 10. We consider how Christ died, and that it is proven that he died, that he was buried, and it is proven that the Father accepted that gift. Jesus Christ hung there on the cross and declared, "It is finished." We saw that 3 hours last Sunday morning in which darkness covered the whole earth. And the Bible tells us that the Father turned his back on the Son because Jesus was bearing the sins of mankind. If you're there in Hebrews chapter 10, would you look at verse number 10 with me and see what the Bible says here in Hebrews? By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, that's Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected for them, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Jesus Christ died. It is proven that he died. And it is secondarily proven that the Father accepted his gift in the atoning work as the covering for our sins. Number one, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a story of proof. Number two, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a story of power. It is a story of power. The Bible says that Christ has power over his own life and his own death. Go back with me, if you would, to Romans. And we read again in chapter 4. And the Bible says, "But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification." The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a story of proof. Number two, it is a story of power. Christ had power over his own life and death. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18. The Bible says that Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." John chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. In John chapter 10, verse number 18, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself." We go to John chapter 11, and in that wonderful story in John chapter 11, where Jesus is going to raise Lazarus from the dead, we're mindful that Jesus cried out to Lazarus, come forth. And he had been in the grave for some period of time. And so we look at that passage and we think of the great power of Almighty God to raise up others that had already died. But we think of the great power of the Lord Jesus Christ who raised himself from the grave. And Jesus says in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Number one, Christ has power over his own life and death. Number two, he has power to raise all those that believe in him. It is a story of power. John chapter 17 in verse number 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse number 14. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. It is the story of power. I want you to consider with me the great contrast between what we believe about Resurrection Sunday and what we know about all other man-made religion. I could this morning walk down through the list of the names of men and women that have founded their own religions. They were born into this world. They chose to reject the truth of Jesus Christ. They founded their own religions. They taught people to follow that religion. And then that founder died and was buried. And you and I could travel today around the globe and we could go to the grave sites of these religious leaders. And we could see in many cases the headstone or the gravestone. And we could read their names and we could read the dates of their life. And we would understand that that founder of that religion is still dead in the grave. But there is a power in the Lord Jesus Christ that is different from every other man-made religion. And the power of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he sacrificed his life on the cross, he was buried, but in his own power he rose victorious on that Sunday morning. And my friend, understand with me that if you and I are to stand at the graveside of religious leaders from around the globe and throughout the annuals of history, we would stand at their grave, and at their gravesite, they offer no hope. You see, that religious founder cannot proclaim victory over death. They cannot proclaim that they rose from the dead. They did not have power to raise themselves up from the condemnation that all men face. But there is one who died and was buried. And in his resurrection power, we too will be raised from the dead. You and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior will be raised eternally. Christ is the only one who rose from the dead, who rose from the grave, and he is the only one that can guarantee eternal life to the lost sinner. If you follow man-made religion this morning, you are of all men most miserable. If you're trusting in your own good works, if you're trusting in your own adherence to these different religious founders, understand that you will go the way of all other men. The time will come that your life will end and you will breathe your last breath, and you will be buried in a grave. But if you would come to Jesus Christ today, it is different than coming to religion. It is about the hope of eternal life. It is about eternal salvation. And Jesus Christ is the only one that can offer that power to mankind. The resurrection is a story of proof. Jesus Christ died for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. It is a story of proof. Number two, it is a story of power. Christ rose from the grave. And if we would believe in him, if we would accept his shed blood on the cross of Calvary, as though it is imputed unto us, it is placed upon us, and therefore the Father sees not our filthy rags of sinfulness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We will be resurrected. We will live yet again. It is a story of proof. It is a story of power. And number three, it is a story of promise. A story of promise. Again, back in Romans chapter 4, the entirety of the chapter speaks to the promises that were given to Abraham and how he believed those promises, and he trusted that God would be true and faithful. And because of his faith, it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed God over the issues that were presented to him. He believed that God would work. He believed that God would accomplish and fulfill all of his promises. And the resurrection is a story of promise. And the Bible says again in our passage, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Go into chapter 5 with me now and look at verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The resurrection is a story of proof. The resurrection is a story of power. And number three, the resurrection is a story of promise. Again, I refer to every other leader of every man-made religion, and I say, what promise can they make about returning to receive their own? The Lord Jesus Christ makes a promise, and we can rejoice in this hope of the glory of God. Jesus Christ promised that he would return. On Wednesday nights, we're in a study on the final lessons from the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'd love to have you tune in each and every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And for those that would have been a part of the service, you'll remember in John chapter 14, in verses 1 through 6, Jesus said unto them, I go to prepare a place for you. But he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. In Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and after a time that the Lord had revealed himself to the disciples and interacted with them, the Bible says that he went there to the Mount of Olives, and the Bible says he ascended up into heaven. In Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. We have the promise of his return. The Bible guarantees that Jesus Christ is coming back, that he's coming back to receive us unto himself. The Bible says it will take place in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. We've been promised that Jesus is coming again. But there's not only the promise of his coming for his own, in his return. The Bible also gives us a secondary promise, and that's a promise that really should be heard by the entire world today. It's the promise of his judgment upon all mankind and unbelief. There is a day of reckoning. There is a day in which the Lord Jesus Christ will come to take account for all those that have accepted him and for all those that have rejected him. I'm mindful that in this day in which we find ourselves, there are many that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many that are making decisions outside of the Word of God. There are many politicians that are making laws contrary to the Word of God. There are many that are haters of God, despisers of the Word of God. Unless they come to the Lord Jesus Christ and his atoning work on Calvary, Judgment Day is coming. Judgment Day is coming. Matthew chapter 24, in verse number 30, the Bible says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." We're also mindful of Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Detail for us the nature of the humbling of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. The Bible goes on to say, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus rose, and his resurrection is a story of proof. His resurrection is a story of power, and his resurrection is a story of promise. He will come to receive his own unto himself, but he will also come in his great glory to bring judgment upon all that have rejected him. Can I say to you in these closing moments that it is necessary today, while there is breath in your soul, to prepare for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? We looked at the crucifixion last Sunday. Jesus died to take your place of punishment. And this morning, it is my prayer that you would come to Jesus, that you would repent of your sins and turn from your religion and trust Jesus Christ alone. That can be accomplished right there in your own home. Perhaps you're tuning in for the services of FBT for the very first time. You've not often heard the story of resurrection and the story of redemption. Well, today the Bible says that you can bow your head, you can repent of your sins, and you can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you right there in your place would bow your head and pray to Almighty God and say something like this: "Dear Lord, please forgive me of my sins. I know that I'm a sinner and I know that I deserve eternal punishment. But right now I trust you and your finished work on the cross of Calvary. I repent of my sins and ask you to come into my heart and be my Savior." If you would pray a prayer like that and mean it with all your heart, the Bible says that Jesus will come into your heart and save your soul even today. Understand, my friend, without Jesus Christ, you are living and abiding under the condemnation of Almighty God. There's a day of judgment that is coming. And just as God will fulfill his promise to all of his children and call his children home, God will absolutely fulfill his promise and bring an end to the wickedness of mankind. He will bring judgment, and it will be perfect judgment. And all those that have failed to bow the knee and to confess with their tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, all those that have rejected on this side will ultimately do that on the other side when they stand before Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment. It is my prayer that today, people that are tuning in would do one of two things. If you know Christ, today's the day to rejoice. For his resurrection is a story of proof. It is a story of power. And it is a story of promise. And for those of us that know Jesus Christ, we have much to rejoice in. For Jesus is coming back to claim his own. But for those that do not yet know Jesus Christ, this day of Resurrection Sunday is a day for you to repent and to be redeemed. I pray this morning that you would repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Everything that I've said to you this morning is true. The requirement of the resurrection is faith. Abraham's faith is an example to all of us. And the resurrection story gives proof, gives power, and gives a wonderful promise that Jesus will come to claim his own. Let's pray. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want to offer this morning a simple invitation to those first that do not yet know Jesus Christ. Would you consider praying that prayer of salvation this morning? There's no magical words, but it is a prayer of repentance. It is a prayer of faith. It is asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and to trust Jesus Christ alone for your eternal life. There is no way to be saved through your own religion. There is no way to be saved through your own righteousness. The path of salvation is by grace through faith. Would you, as your head is bowed and your eye is closed, would you repent of your sins and trust Jesus in a time of prayer? Christian, as your head is bowed and your eyes are closed this morning, I wonder if you are living in resurrection power. I wonder this morning if you would say that there's anything between your soul and the Savior. And if there is, would you take this time in this simple invitation, would you take this time to repent of your sins and to do right by your Heavenly Father? That there be nothing between your soul and the Savior. Christian, you and I can live in resurrection power. That's God's desire for us. And I pray that's how God would find each of us when he returns. Lord, would you take this time that we've had in the scriptures and would you seal these truths in our hearts? We thank you that this truth was not written solely for the edification of the story of Abraham and Sarah and to encourage them, or even for the edification solely of the Old Testament saints, but it is written for us here in 2020. And as Abraham believed the promises of God and saw all those promises fulfilled, and his faith was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake, Lord, we have the opportunity to believe by faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, if there be one that's watching via live stream right now that does not know Christ, would you bring conviction to their heart? Again, this is the work that no man can accomplish. Only the Holy Spirit of God can bring conviction upon the heart and draw a person to the Savior. Would you draw them right now? May they feel the weight of their sin. May they know of the impending judgment of Almighty God. And may today be the day of redemption, that they then too can look forward to that day of resurrection when Jesus claims his own. Father, thank you for this special day. Thank you for the opportunity to celebrate resurrection with our dear people, both here in this country and around the world. We look forward to that day when every nation and every kindred and every tongue is gathered around the throne of Almighty God, and we all with one voice and one language proclaim King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you for the resurrection. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're delighted that you've joined us this morning for our services. And we want to remind you that under the current circumstances and protection for each one with the virus and potential passing of the virus, that we'll have another live stream service at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. And we look forward to others joining us as well. Thank you, and I pray you have a wonderful Resurrection Sunday.